Chapter 25. Of hers. Her life passes with boarding in some country town as cheap as she can, and, when she runs out, shifting to some cheaper place, or coming to town for a month. If I were rich, I would ease her, which a little thing would do. Some months ago I sent her a guinea, and it patched up 20 circumstances. She is now going to Berkhamsted in Hertfordshire. It has rained and hailed prodigiously today, with some thunder. This is the last night I lie at Chelsea, and I got home early, and sat 2 hours with the Dean, and ate victuals, having had a very scurvy dinner. I'll answer your letter when I come to live in town. You shall have a fine London answer. But first I will go sleep, and dream of M.D. London, July 5. This day I left Chelsea for good, that's a genteel phrase, and I'm got into Suffolk Street. I dined today at our society, and we are adjourned for a month, because most of us go into the country. We dined at Lord Keeper's with young Harcourt, and Lord Keeper was forced to sneak off, and dine with Lord Treasurer, who had invited the secretary and me to dine with him. But we scorned to leave our company, as George Granville did, whom we have threatened to expel. However, in the evening I went to Lord Treasurer, and, among other company, found a couple of judges with him. One of them, Judge Powell, 8, an old fellow with gray hairs, was the merriest old gentleman I ever saw, spoke pleasant things, and laughed and chuckled till he cried again. I stayed till 11, because I was not now to walk to Chelsea. 6. An ugly rainy day. I was to visit Mrs. Barton, then called at Mrs. Van Homry's, where Sir Andrew Fountain and the rain kept me to dinner, and there did I loiter all the afternoon, like a fool, out of perfect laziness, and the weather not permitting me to walk. But I'll do so no more. Are your waters at Wexford good in this rain? I long to hear how you are established there, how and whom you visit, what is your lodging, what are your entertainments. You are got far southwards, but I think you must eat no fruit while you drink the waters. I ate some Kentish cherries t'other day, and I repented already. I have felt my head a little disordered. We had not a hot day all June, or since, which I reckon a mighty happiness. Have you left a direction with reading for Wexford? I will, as I said, direct this to Curry's, and the next to Reading, or suppose I send this at a venture straight to Wexford. It would vex me to have it miscarry. I had a letter tonight from Parvisel, that White has paid me most of my remaining money, and another from Joe, that they have had their election at Trim, but not a word of who is chosen Portrove. 9. Poor Joe is full of complaints. Says he has enemies, and fears he will never get his £200, and I fear so too, although I have done what I could. I'll answer your letter when I think fit, when saucy Presto thinks fit, sirs. I am not at leisure yet. When I have nothing to do, perhaps I may vouchsafe. Oh Lord, the two Wexford ladies, I'll go dream of you both. 7. It was the dismalest rainy day I ever saw. I went to the secretary in the morning, and he was gone to Windsor. Then it began raining, and I struck into Mrs. Van Homry's, and dined, and stayed till night very dull and insipid. I hate this town in summer. I'll leave it for a while, if I can have time. 8. I have a fellow of your town, one Tisdall, 10, lodges in the same house with me. Patrick told me Squire Tisdall and his lady lodged here. I pretended I never heard of him, but I knew his ugly face, and saw him at church in the next pew to me, and he often looked for a bow, but it would not do. I think he lives in Capel Street, and has an ugly fine wife in a fine coach. Dr. Frayne and I dined in the city by invitation, and I drank punch, very good, but it makes me hot. People here are troubled with a guess by this continuance of wet, cold weather. But I am glad to find the season so temperate. I was this evening to see Will Congreve, who is a very agreeable companion. 9. I was today in the city, and dined with Mr. Stratford, who tells me Sir Alexander Cairns makes difficulties about paying my bill, so that I cannot give order yet to Parvisel, to deliver up the bond to Dr. Raymond. Tomorrow I shall have a positive answer. That Cairns is a shuffling scoundrel, and several merchants have told me so. What can one expect from a Scot and a fanatic? I was at Bateman's the bookseller's, to see a fine old library he has bought, and my fingers itched, as yours would do at a china shop. But I resisted, and found everything too dear, and I have fooled away too much money that way already. So go and drink your waters, saucy rogue, and make yourself well, and pray walk, while you are there. I have a notion there is never a good walk in Ireland. 11. Do you find all places without trees? Pray observe the inhabitants about Wexford. They are Old English. See what they have particular in their manners, names, and language. Magpies have been always there, and nowhere else in Ireland, till of late years. They say the cocks and dogs go to sleep at noon, and so do the people. Write your travels, and bring home good eyes and health. 10. I dined today with Lord Treasurer. We did not sit down till 4. I dispatched 3 businesses with him, and forgot a 4th. I think I have got a friend and employment, and besides I made him consent to let me bring Congreve to dine with him. You must understand I have a mind to do a small thing, only turn out all the Queen's physicians, for in my conscience they will soon kill her among them. And I must talk over that matter with some people. My Lord Treasurer told me the Queen and he between them have lost the paper about the first fruits, but desires I will let the bishops know it shall be done with the first opportunity. 11. I dined today with neighbor Van, and walked pretty well in the park this evening. Stella, hussy, don't you remember, sirrah, you used to reproach me about meddling in other folks' affairs? I have enough of it now. 2 people came to me tonight in the park, to engage to speak to Lord Treasurer in their behalf, and I believe they make up 50 who have asked me the same favor. I am hardened, and resolved to trouble him, or any other minister, less than ever. And I observe those who have 10 times more credit than I will not speak a word for anybody. I met yesterday the poor lad I told you of, who lived with Mr. Tennyson, 12, who has been ill of anaga ever since I saw him. He looked wretchedly, and was exceeding thankful for half a crown I gave him. He had a crown from me before. 12. I dined today with young Manly, 13, in the city, who is to get me out a box of books, and a hamper of wine from Hamburg. I inquired of Mr. Stratford, who tells me that Cairns has not yet paid my £200, but shams and delays from day to day. Young Manly's wife is a very indifferent person of a young woman, goggle-eyed, and looks like a fool. Yet he is a handsome fellow, and married her for love after long courtship, and she refused him until he got his last employment. I believe I shall not be so good a boy for writing as I was during your stay at Wexford, unless I may send my letters every second time to Curry's. Pray let me know. This, I think, shall go there. Or why not to Wexford itself? That is right, and so it shall this next Tuesday, although it costs you 10p. What care I? 13. This toad of a secretary is come from Windsor, and I cannot find him, and he goes back on Sunday, and I can't see him tomorrow. I dined scurvily today with Mr. Lewis and a parson, and then went to see Lord Treasurer, and met him coming from his house in his coach. He smiled, and I shrugged, and we smoked each other, and so my visit is paid. I now confine myself to see him only twice a week. He has invited me to Windsor, and betwixt two stools, etc. I will go live at Windsor, if possible, that's pos. I have always the luck to pass my summer in London. I called this evening to see poor Sir Matthew Dudley, a commissioner of the customs. I know he is to be out for certain. He is in hopes of continuing. I would not tell him bad news, but advised him to prepare for the worst. Dilly was with me this morning, to invite me to dine at Kensington on Sunday with Lord Mountjoy, who goes soon for Ireland. Your late Chief Justice Broderick, 14, is here, and they say violent as a tiger. How is party among you at Wexford? are the majority of ladies for the later present ministry. Write me Wexford News, and love Presto, because he is a good boy. 14. Although it was shaving day, I walked to Chelsea, and was there by 9 this morning, and the Dean of Carlisle and I crossed the water to Battersea, and went in his chariot to Greenwich, where we dined at Dr. Gastrell's, and passed the afternoon at Lewisham, at the Dean of Canterbury's. 15. And there I saw Moll Stanhope. 16. Who is grown monstrously tall, but not so handsome as formerly. It is the first little rambling journey I have had this summer about London, and they are the agreeablest pastimes one can have, in a friend's coach, and to good company. Bank stock has fallen 3 or 4%. By the whispers about the town of the Queen's being ill, who is however very well. 15. How many books have you carried with you to Wexford? What, not one single book? Oh, but your time will be so taken up, and you can borrow of the parson. I dined today with Sir Andrew Fountain and Dilly at Kensington with Lord Mountjoy, and in the afternoon Stratford came there, and told me my £200 were paid at last, so that business is over, and I am at ease about it, and I wish all your money was in the bank too. I will have my other £100 there, that is in Hawkshaw's hands. Have you had the interest of it paid yet? I ordered Parvisel to do it. What makes Presto write so crooked? I will answer your letter tomorrow, and send it on Tuesday. Here's hot weather come again, yesterday and today. Fine drinking waters now. We had a sad pert dull parson at Kensington today. I almost repent my coming to town. I want the walks I had. 16. I dined in the city today with a Hedge 17 acquaintance, and the day passed without any consequence. I will answer your letter tomorrow. 17. Morning. I have put your letter before me, and am going to answer it. Hold your tongue. Stand by. Your weather and ours were not alike. We had not a bit of hot weather in June, yet you complain of it on the 19th day. What, you used to love hot weather then? I could never endure it. I detest and abominate it. I would not live in a hot country, to be king of it. What a splutter you keep about my bonds with Raymond, and all to affront Presto. Presto will be suspicious of everything but M.D., in spite of your little nose. Soft and fair, Madam Stella, how you gallop away, in your spleen and your rage, about repenting my journey, and preferment here, and sixpence a dozen, a nasty England, and Larriker all my life. Hey Daisy, will you never have done? I had no offers of any living. Lord Keeper told me some months ago he would give me one when I pleased, but I told him I would not take any from him. And the secretary told me t'other day he had refused a very good one for me, but it was in a place he did not like, and I know nothing of getting anything here, and, if they would give me leave, I would come over just now. Addison, I hear, has changed his mind about going over, but I have not seen him these 4 months. Oh, eh, that's true, Dingley, that's like herself. Millions of businesses to do before she goes. Yes, my head has been pretty well, but threatening within these 2 or 3 days, which I impute to some fruit I ate, but I will eat no more. Not a bit of any sort. I suppose you had a journey without dust, and that was happy. I long for a Wexford letter, but must not think of it yet. Your last was finished but 3 weeks ago. It is D.D. news you tell me of Mrs. F. It makes me love England less a great deal. I know nothing of the trunk, being left or taken, so 'tis odd enough, if the things in it were mine, and I think I was told, that there are some things for me, that my mother left particularly to me. I am really sorry for Dash. That scoundrel Dash will have his estate after his mother's death. Let me know, if Mrs. Walls has got her tea. I hope Richardson, 18, stayed in Dublin till it came. Mrs. Walls needed not have that blemish in her eye, for I am not in love with her at all. No, I do not like anything in the Examiner after the 45th, except the first part of the 46th. 19. All the rest is trash, And if you like them, especially the 47th, your judgment is spoiled by ill company and want of reading, which I am more sorry for than you think. And I have spent 14 years in improving you to little purpose. Mr. Took is come here, and I must stop. At night. I dined with Lord Treasurer today, and he kept me till 9, so I cannot send this tonight, as I intended, nor write some other letters. Green, 20, his surgeon, was there, and dressed his breast, that is, put on a plaster, which is still requisite. And I took an opportunity to speak to him of the Queen, but he cut me short with this saying, Laissez faire Don Antoine, which is a French proverb, expressing, leave that to me. I find he is against her taking much physic, and I doubt he cannot persuade her to take Dr. Radcliffe. However, she is very well now, and all the story of her illness, except the first day or two, was a lie. We had some business, that company hindered us from doing, though he is earnest for it, yet would not appoint me a certain day, but bids me come at all times till we can have leisure. This takes up a great deal of my time, and I can do nothing I would do for them. I was with the secretary this morning, and we both think to go to Windsor for some days, to dispatch an affair, if we can have leisure. Stern met me just now in the street by his lodgings, and I went in for an hour to Jemmy Lee, who loves London dearly. He asked after you with great respect and friendship. To return to your letter. Your Bishop Mills, 21, hates me mortally. I wonder he should speak well of me, having abused me in all places where he went. So you pay your way. Cutcho. You had a fine supper, I warrant, two pullets, and a bottle of wine, and some currants. It is just 3 weeks today since you set out to Wexford. You were 3 days going, and I do not expect a letter these 10 days yet, or rather this fortnight. I got a grant of the Gazette, 22, for Ben Took this morning from Mr. Secretary. It will be worth to him £100 a year. 18. Today I took leave of Mrs. Barton, who is going into the country, and I dined with Sir John Stanley, 23, where I have not been this great while. There dined with us Lord Rochester, and his fine daughter, Lady Jane, 24, just growing a top toast. I have been endeavoring to save Sir Matthew Dudley, 25, but fear I cannot. I walked them all 6 times tonight for exercise, and would have done more, but, as empty as the town is, a fool got hold of me, and so I came home, to tell you this shall go tomorrow, without fail, and follow you to Wexford, like a dog. 19. Dean Atterbury sent to me to dine with him at Chelsea. I refused his coach, and walked, and am come back by 7, because I would finish this letter, and some others I am writing. Patrick tells me the maid says one Mr. Walls, a clergyman, a tall man, was here to visit me. Is it your Irish archdeacon? I shall be sorry for it, but I shall make shift, to see him seldom enough, as I do Dilly. What can he do here? Or is it somebody else? The Duke of Newcastle, 26, is dead by the fall he had from his horse. God send poor Stella her health, and keep M.D. happy. Farewell, and love Presto, who loves M.D. above all things 10 million of times. God bless the dear Wexford girls. Farewell again, etc., etc. Letter 27. London, July 19, 1711. I have just sent my 26th. And have nothing to say, because I have other letters to write.
Saw, I began too high, but I must
lay the beginning like a nest egg. Tomorrow I will say more, and fetch up this line to be straight. This is enough at present for two dear saucy naughty girls. 20. Have I told you that Walls has been with me, and leaves the town in 3 days? He has brought no gown with him. Dilly carried him to a play. He has come upon a foolish errand, and goes back as he comes. I was this day with Lord Peterborough, who is going another ramble. I believe I told you so. I dined with Lord Treasurer, but cannot get him to do his own business with me. He has put me off till tomorrow. 21-22.
I dined yesterday with Lord Treasurer, who would needs take me along with him to Windsor, although I refused him several times, having no linen, etc. I had just time to desire Lord Forbes 1, to call at my lodging, and order my man, to send my things today to Windsor by his servant. I lay last night at the secretary's lodgings at Windsor, and borrowed one of his shirts, to go to court in. The Queen is very well. I dined with Mr. Masham, and not hearing anything of my things, I got Lord Winchelsea to bring me to town. Here I found that Patrick had broke open the closet to get my linen and nightgown, and sent them to Windsor, and there they are, and he, not thinking I would return so soon, is gone upon his rambles. So here I am left destitute, and forced to borrow a nightgown of my landlady, and have not a rag to put on tomorrow. Faith, it gives me the spleen. 23. Morning. It is a terrible rainy day, and rained prodigiously on Saturday night. Patrick lay out last night, and is not yet returned. Faith, poor Presto is a desolate creature, neither servant, nor linen, nor anything. Night. Lord Forbes' man has brought back my portmanteau, and Patrick is come, so I am in Christian circumstances. I shall hardly commit such a frolic again. I just crept out to Mrs. Van's, and dined, and stayed there the afternoon. It has rained all this day. Windsor is a delicious place. I never saw it before, except for an hour about 17 years ago. Walls has been here in my absence, I suppose, to take his leave, for he designed not to stay above 5 days in London. He says he and his wife will come here for some months next year, and, in short, he dares not stay now for fear of her. 24. I dined today with a hedge-to friend in the city, and Walls overtook me in the street, and told me he was just getting on horseback for Chester. He has as much curiosity as a cow. He lodged with his horse in Aldersgate Street. He has bought his wife a silk gown, and himself a hat. And what are you doing? What is poor M.D. doing now? How do you pass your time at Wexford? How do the waters agree with you? Let Presto know soon, for Presto longs to know, and must know. Is not Madame Proby curious company? I am afraid this rainy weather will spoil your waters. We have had a great deal of wet these 3 days. Tell me all the particulars of Wexford. The place, the company, the diversions, the victuals, the wants, the vexations. Poor Dingley never saw such a place in her life. Sent all over the town for a little parsley to a boiled chicken, and it was not to be had. The butter is stark naught, except an old English woman's, and it is such a favor to get a pound from her now and then. I am glad you carried down your sheets with you, else you must have lain in sackcloth. O Lord! 25. I was this forenoon with Mr. Secretary at his office, and helped to hinder a man of his pardon, who is condemned for a rape. The undersecretary was willing to save him, upon an old notion that a woman cannot be ravished. But I told the secretary he could not pardon him without a favorable report from the judge. Besides, he was a fiddler, and consequently a rogue, and deserved hanging for something else, and so he shall swing. What, I must? Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.